This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, with Macca and Nevena. Who's our next guest, Nev?
We're joined in the studio by Austin. They are the co-convener of the Victorian Pride Lobby. Welcome to Saturday Magazine, Austin.
Thanks very much for having me again.
It's a pleasure to have you in the studio. And we are at a bit of a critical juncture at the moment in Victoria, where we've had this sustained campaign of hate by a small minority of people seeking to shut down family-friendly events at local council libraries. Can you tell us a little bit about what is happening and the role the Victorian Pride Lobby are having in supporting drag story time?
Yeah, sure. So I think you could probably trace this issue back to October of last year, where a group of neo-Nazis effectively gate-crashed a family-friendly picnic in Moonee Valley Council, held up the same sign that you would have seen on March 18th about how they feel about LGBTIQ people, disrupted that event and really caused a lot of harm and concern for the people involved. Moonee Valley, to their credit, went ahead with that event. They didn't shut it down on the day. They tried to use police to remove the protesters, and they continued to run LGBTIQ youth events after that has occurred. What then happened, though, was in December, Stonington Council, along with Minus 18 and the Victorian Pride Centre, ran an event called Glitter Nova.
Yeah.
That event was targeted by extremists online. They threatened to turn up and protest. The community responded by saying that they were going to go and protect the event. But unfortunately, that event was rescheduled to much later in the next year. Since then, at that time, the Pride Lobby took the position that if we're going to cancel these events, that's going to embolden people, because realistically, only two or three protesters turned up at that event. But they really inflated the sense of how big they were going to be on the day. So if you cancel those events, these extremists don't actually have to get boots on the ground. They can just harass online. We think that there's about 40 of them, realistically. But they can send through, you know, 120, 130 phone calls to a council. The council freaks out. They cancel the event. And then these people get online and say, we've got another victory. So since Glitter Nova was rescheduled in December, we've had almost two dozen LGBTIQ youth events cancelled in 2023. The majority of those occurred over May for Ida Hobbit. And we're getting to the stage now where these extremists know that they can just send a bunch of emails, make a bunch of phone calls, threaten, harass, intimidate council staff, and then that will result in events being cancelled. So we're at risk right now of councils feeling like they can't run LGBTIQ youth events at all.
So how do we counter this? You know, we don't want to get into a situation where they're on the other side of the street dragging their knuckles on the ground, and we're on this side of the street, you know, protecting the event or standing up for the event. We don't want to get into that confrontation position. How do we actually convince the councils, with the support of Victoria Police and with the support of the Victorian government, and dare I say it, the federal government are missing in action, how do we actually, with these events, how important they are, how can we actually make them happen? What is the first, you know, is it the councils, is it the police, is it the state government? How do we make it happen?
I would say it is all three of those decision makers that you've just mentioned. So I'll start with the councils. I want to be clear, the vibe that we're getting from the community, and the community are voting with their feet because they're turning out to these protests to support these events. They want the events to go ahead, even if there's a risk.
Yeah.
They believe that they have the capacity and the strength and the organising ability to protect these events peacefully. And I think that we've seen, from the Rainbow Community Angels that they are capable of doing
that. Who we're speaking to next,
Yeah, of course. And there's some other groups that have been putting on events as well, like Trans Queer Solidarity put one on in Oakley. The community response to Glitter Nova was really organised by no one. That was an entirely grassroots response. So the community is capable of turning out and protecting these events. And if you talk to the staff who are putting on these events, they feel that they have the expertise to put them on safely as well, even if they are threatened. So councils need to start trusting the community and trusting their staff when they put together those risk assessment plans and go ahead with these events, even if it's a bit scary. In terms of the state government, I have been quite underwhelmed by their response. I think they've done a lot of great work to show that they're supportive of the events and that they're supportive of drag and supportive of the community. But in terms of tangible things that they've done to ensure the events can go ahead, I haven't seen a whole lot. After Glitter Nova, the Pride Lobby briefed the Minister for Equality on the importance of speeding up vilification reform, which is in the Rainbow Ready roadmap.
And we actually, you know, we covered this recently with Harriet Shing, the Minister, and we also chatted on air a few weeks prior, that might have been a month prior to that, with Jacqueline Symes, the Attorney General, who, I'll probably get in trouble for this, Jacqueline said that she wanted it to happen this year.
Yeah.
And but it seems to have blown out a little bit. So, you know, I know what the government's view is. I also know from speaking with members of the opposition, the shadow ministers, perhaps not some of the others, what their view is. They want to support this, and Matt Bark last week, the shadow minister for education and child protection, same position. So the political will is there. It can't just be the difficulty of drafting the legislation, because they have actually got somewhere to start, which was Fiona Patten's bill. And Harriet acknowledged that but said, you know, that's one of the many options. Why is it taking so long?
I don't think we have a clear answer on that.
Yeah.
The only thing I can assume is that while they're willing to say that they have the political will to do it, perhaps it's not as strong as it could be. Because ideally, our community, we've got a huge LGBTIQ festival coming up in January.
Mm.
And at the moment, we have an issue where neo-Nazis can turn up to our events, hold up signs calling us horrific things, and that is technically not a crime.
What could be more important, Austin? What could be more important to our community?
I would say right now this is the biggest crisis we've faced since the postal survey. Yeah. This is the most important thing for the community that the government needs to act on. And we need tangible things. We don't need any more platitudes. We understand that they support us and agree that we should exist. We need to go beyond that, and they need to give us the support that we need to actually thrive.
What is the shortfall at the moment with Victoria Police? What protections or what legislation or what policies aren't there that would allow them to move on peacefully, if possible, the protesters who are harassing, intimidating and discriminating members of our community and their families?
I think it's less about Victoria Police's ability to move on, because Victoria Police do have significant ability to move on protesters. There has been a shortfall with individual stations not doing the right thing and providing what is, in my mind, incorrect advice to local councils, which significantly overstate the threat of these protesters. And in some cases, even saying that they're not going to turn out police staff to protect the events, which is inappropriate. The better thing in terms of vilification reform would be what it allows local councils to do under the Local Government Act. Because at the moment, we've got 40 people who ring up, threaten, harass, and say horrible things about the LGBTIQ community to council staff. What they are doing does create a psychologically unsafe workplace for those council workers, but it's also not technically a crime. So it's unclear what action local councils can take proactively against that group of people that is organising. Can they actually block those people from contacting them? Potentially not, because they have to provide services to people if they are residents, and they can't quite confirm if these people are residents or not. So I think that having hate speech law, which would make that much more clear cut, that what these people are doing is considered hate speech, it is a crime under vilification protections, would allow councils to be a lot more proactive in blocking those people and not allowing them services.
You know, when a police officer is sworn in, they swear to keep the peace. That's one of the things. And I would have thought some of these activities are a breach of the peace. Now, it's a very simplistic view of it. But if the police, you know, and, you know, Nevin and I will work on getting Wayne Gatt from the Police Association on to put a view on this. And he's expressed a view before, you know, that really... paraphrase, the law isn't strong enough, and it doesn't allow police to really target this sort of activity. So, again, I think, you know, this is a very dangerous time for us. I've been a lobbyist and an advocate for more years than I care to remember. And I'm not saying this is the worst time and activity that I've seen, but it's up there. And it actually needs to change, and we need government, state and federal, to step in to support local government, to support the police, and to support our community. It's time, guys. It's time for you to step up and protect us. Equality is not negotiable in Victoria. Well, it needs to be protected.
Austin, if people want to support the Victorian Pride Lobby and to show their visible support for Drag Story Time, what can they do to be able to get involved, get informed, and to show their solidarity?
At this stage, I'd really encourage you to follow the Rainbow Community Angels, who you'll be speaking to next.
Yes.
So they offer extremely good direct action training and are doing a fantastic job protecting these events. They hosted a drag story time in St Kilda this week, which I attended, which was just really lovely. It's great to spend your work day holding up a rainbow umbrella for a drag queen, which is what I got to do.
Well, you know, that's the real work.
That's, you know, that's...
Sometimes you go, oh, my life is a bit of a privilege, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's horrible, but this is great.
Yeah.
So I'd encourage people to follow them. The other group that's doing work around this and organising events is Trans Queer Solidarity. So if you give them a follow on Instagram, you'll likely see a lot of events that they are going to be doing in the future to support drag queens and also library workers when they have their events cancelled. And I'd also just encourage you, any drag performer that you know who is potentially under attack as a result of this,
reach out.
Yeah, particularly Frock Hudson, Belial Bazaar have been the ones who've really been under sustained attack. Give their page a follow, have a look and see if they've got a link me that allows you to tip them, particularly if something really horrible happens. Always shoot some money across to our performers, because they're having a really difficult time right now and they need to be supported by the community.
Yeah.
Austin, thank you so much for joining us in the studio and Saturday Magazine. And thank you so much for the work, the very important work that you're doing, protecting family-friendly LGBTIQ events.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.